Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back. It's Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr here in the North Dakota Corn Grower Studio, round and third, heading for home. Here we are back in the thick of things with Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist. Hey, welcome back. Welcome to Farm Talk. You've been here all the time. I'm the one that bailed.
Yeah, right, right. I'm going to say, I've been here. I don't know where you've been on a 5 night. It's I always love the visits, and you've been such a wonderful friend of mine. You've said it for years, neighbor and a friend, and we're still all of the above. And you've done such a benefit to us from Game and Fish to connecting with the farmers, the ranchers, the landowners, and when they get a little time off from fencing or spraying weeds or they love to get outdoors. They love to get out and fish. They love out to camp and take the kids out for maybe a little water skiing, playing in the water. And then the same folks that love to go deer hunting and pheasant hunting and spending time outdoors. And there's so many things that we're able to cross over and bridge that gap. So I so appreciate you. I listen to you.
You are one of the more faithful Farm Talk listeners.
And I do, and I love, I heard Tommy Grisafi on earlier this week, but I'm gonna go back even further, because I don't remember, you'll remember when this was, but I believe, because you were, I think, filling in for Eric. I don't know if maybe he was down in Minneapolis for
Egg in the Classroom, yeah.
But you referenced somewhere along the line this summer that you drove to the East Coast and back. You had like 2,500 miles?
3,300. And most of those were like in 4 days. First day drove to Champaign, Illinois. And then next day drove to Boone, as in Daniel Boone, North Carolina. And actually Blowing Rock is where we stayed with a friend that used to be a professor, my wife's friend, who used to be a professor at Morehead State and now got a job at Appalachian State. And haven't seen her for years and just threatened to get together and finally did it.
I just, when you said that, I was like, I'm sure I could do it. We're not in, landing on the beach of Normandy, but to drive that many miles in that short a time, and I get frustrated. I'll call it progress with road construction, because it's making things better. But I cannot imagine what you went through, from traffic to road construction to detours to tolls. Did you run into tolls? I can't even imagine what the price is to go through one. And can you even throw quarters at it anymore?
No, you can't. It's all, they read your license plate and send you a bill. It's all read the license plate. It's a plate, and you got to, if you don't have a like an I-Pass in Illinois, around Rockford, Illinois, and then the other one is Louisville, Kentucky, where you cross a bridge. And both of those weren't too expensive. They were like $1 in Illinois, but about $10 in Kentucky. So,
can I borrow your truck next time I go somewhere?
Sure. If you're heading through Kentucky, I would advise stay out of the holler.
Really?
Holy mackerel, I realized how they got famous for eating squirrel down there, because there ain't nothing else. We have satellite radio in the car. Even the satellite radio went out because of 200 to 300 foot vertical rock on the side of there is no straight road down there. It's all S-turns in the hills and mountains. It's a beautiful...
That doesn't sound like a relaxing vacation to me, driving through S-curves through mountains that are straight up and down, Mick.
It was a little stressful getting there. Coming home, it was a little bitter. Because I knew what to expect, but heading there, I didn't know really where we were going either. So high anxiety, but anyway.
I get stressed out driving over the Red River Bridge, and takes on the worst day, legitimately, it probably takes you like an extra minute or an extra 2 minutes or something like that. So, man, kudos to you. That's just phenomenal for you to do that, and it doesn't surprise me. That's the kind of guy that you are.
Well, I haven't taken a 2 week vacation in years, and. It was worth it, but I'm still recovering.
Yeah, well, I was recovering for you, and you used to, and you would spend time traveling down to Nebraska and traveling out to Montana and to Newtown and all around the Upper Midwest. So you You definitely got back into the old habits.
Yeah, behind the wheel, you know, windshield time. So, well, as you mentioned, you are a faithful Farm Talk listener.
And yeah.
Earlier this week, we had Cass County Extension horticulturist on. We talked about a problem in town. You and I usually talk about big game.
Right.
Let's talk about little game. The Waskily Wabbits.
Yeah, I was listening. I think it was Don Kinsler the other day. And again, most of the time I'm listening, and like a lot of other people, the beautiful thing about radio is you can be doing something else. You know, it's not passive. You can be working on this, working on that, and you can, and then you know, once in a while I go, stop. Oh man, I need to listen to this. You know, priority number one. And so when you talk about, you know, problems with critters, whether it's deer in the wintertime and your alfalfa, your livestock feed supplies, summertime with, you know, your garden out in the rural areas, your garden in town, the flowers, whatever it might be. There's a lot of different ways to deal with it. And I think first and foremost, again, whether it's Canada geese out in the rural areas or deer or in town, the first thing that suggests people is have some patience, just like Mick on your drive. I mean, this is a long drive. You're not going to get there overnight. The problem that you have with, whether it's rabbits or deer or Canada geese or squirrels or raccoons, whatever, while it happened overnight, a lot of the times the buildup are things like providing that food source, whether it's intentional or unintentional. Sometimes we hear about people, you know, even in rural farmsteads having problems with raccoons and skunks getting into their garbage. And sometimes it can be as simple as making sure that you're covering your garbage cans. When you feed your dog outside, don't leave the food outside. You know, make sure that bowl is clear. You're going to draw in coyotes. You're going to draw in raccoons. In some situations with bird feeders, and people love to feed birds, whether it's in town or out of town, you know, summertime, wintertime. Well, when you start feeding animals, you're always going to have like a little bit of a domino effect, and you're going to have, oh, I'd love to feed these birds. We've had situations even in eastern North Dakota where those bird feeders are drawn in bears, and they're, whoa, holy cow, I didn't mean to do that. Well, again, what your intentions were and what happens oftentimes can kind of, you know, turn into like a little bit of a crash in the parking lot where you like didn't see it coming. And I touched on a number of different things of just knowing what could happen by feeding any kind of wildlife and for birds. And specifically when you talk about rabbits in town, don't be pulling out the pellet gun and the BB gun. And even if you think you can get by with it with a 0.17, those little 0.17s pellet guns are high power and they can take things out. But you don't know what might happen. And we don't want anyone to unintentionally injure someone, damage somebody else's personal property. We don't want you getting problems with law enforcement. Exclusion is probably the most difficult, but most effective with least amount of tertiary problems. By exclusion, I mean, it can be as simple as taking some lath and some chicken wire and building that around mom's flower bed or building that around the garden. Exclusion. We've had people invest a lot of money in basically building a cage around their garden to keep the deer out of the garden, to keep the birds out of the garden. And while it can be very, very costly up front, I've seen some of the bills that my wife's flowers have laid on me.
Coming back from the greenhouse?
Right, right. And it's not cheap. It's not cheap at all. So we think of things in your investment and protecting your investment, whether you're, you know, talking about Tommy Grossafi or anybody else, protecting your assets and making wise choices with that. So maybe you want to think about, what can I do at a minimum to try to protect my flowers, my garden, my soybeans, whatever else you're trying to protect. And then along with that, that's where you're mitigating. Okay, if I plant this, am I going to be able to protect this in the summertime? And while, you know, some of the other methods, there's different kinds of scents and smells and hair from the barber shop have been tried, scarecrows and all that stuff.
Blood meal fertilizer, you know, scare the bunnies away.
Yeah, yeah, blood meal. That's one that you hear about. And so with that, what we ask people is when you're at that frustration level, don't just grab the gun and go out there and take the into your own hands. Because if you shoot one rabbit, if you shoot one critter, that's the end of that one. But that's not the only one. It's like trapping mice. You know, it's not the when you catch one, you know there's gonna be more there. So you may not get in trouble shooting one rabbit, shooting one squirrel or anything, you know, similar like that. But you're not gonna you cured that problem. So exclusion is one. You know, some of the other ones that you mentioned, you know, blood meal and hair and you know, some of the deer whey and all these other products that are out there, they may work in a limited capacity, but they're not gonna be 100% effective every day, every week, every month, for all time. One other area that I've seen to some degree of success is like with rabbits, is if you plant like maybe some lettuce and some carrots and some greens away from your garden and just say, that's what they're gonna eat.
Sure.
Hopefully with something that's easy for them, that doesn't have the blood meal, that doesn't have the protection, maybe they'll just sit there and munch on that and they won't come into your garden, come into your flowers and cause some problems and cause some damage like that. So there's some different ways, but it's, you know, we share the same frustration, you and I, along with the rest of the people, because we all run into some of those similar problems.
So baiting bunnies is not frowned upon by the North Dakota Game and Fish Department, as opposed to baiting deer.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Now, and we're, you know, we run into some of those same situations as everybody else. Well, it's okay for rabbits, but it's not okay for deer. Correct. Correct.
Very good.
Guilty as charged.
Doug Lear, North Dakota Game and Fish Department outreach biologist. We are taking a break and we're coming back after this.